Rabbi Sai, this is our third shiur on this masterpiece. V'shafti v'shalom beis ovi tovshin lamed ches. As I discussed with you in the last couple of classes, the way we're approaching this is that first we're going to learn the nekudas ha-maimer, the nekudas ha-biyur, the essence, the pnimius, the neshama of this maimer. And then afterwards, we would go ahead and learn the maimed in the order of the psukim. So tonight we're doing our third and hopefully final class on this, you know, nekudas habir, this heart of the maimed. And in mitzvah Hashem after today, the subsequent classes, we're going to do, like I explained to you, Vayeti Yankim Abeh Shava Vayela Kharan is going to be one topic. Vayikach Me'avne Amokam Vyasim Rashesov is going to be the second topic. And Imeyel Kimi Modi Ushmanani Baterech Asher Ani Heilech Vinasam Lilechem Lachel Obegad Lil Bishvashafti Bisholm Obey Sovi. And then the two promises. First of all, Vahoya Hashem Lila Likim. And the second promise, Vahavan Azazah Shasamti Matseva Yea Besa Likim, is going to be our final chativa of the maimed. I don't know how many classes we're going to need for each section, but that's more or less how we're going to be structuring the limud. So what are we doing? What did we do two classes ago in the previous class? So we talked about this idea of chiddush, anayis, ashtikel anayis, anayis. When the Eibishter created the world, so it says in the Medrash, "B'minim lach minish meseim shel tzaddikim." When God Almighty created His world, He consulted with tzaddikim. So the Rebbe observes, "B'minim lach minish meseim shel tzaddikim," and not with the neshamis of Balei Tshuva. That even though Balei Tshuva are higher than tzaddik, and He brought the Rambam's lashon, "B'makom shebalei Tshuva emdim ein tzaddikim gemurim yecholim la'amid sham." Which means that the advantage, the supremacy of a Baal Tshuva, of a Tzaddik, goes all the way to the Madrega of Yecholis, that not only on the level of Koyach, but even the level of Yochel, a Tzaddik is not a Baal Tshuva. Nevertheless, when the Eibishter created the world, His Hamlocha, His plan was for Avedas HaTzaddikim. And part of the Maila of Avedas HaTzaddikim is Inyan HaSeder. It doesn't really speak about this so much in this Maimed, but it does talk about another Maimorim. What a tzaddik does is normal. What a tzaddik does is comprehensive. What a tzaddik does involves all of the evarim of his guf, everything in his world, and all the tayag mitzvahs. And the hamlocha, the consultation, and the decision, kvayoch. For the Eibishter to create the world, for the tzaddikim to serve him through the avoid of teira and mitzvahs. So any idea of tshuva is considered a chiddush. It's outside of the parameters of this plan, of this hamlocha. The language that the Rebbe employed to present this case is that b'min nimlach b'nish v'seim shal tzaddikim, the payachal, the divine hamlocha, the consultation of the Eibishter, inasmuch as creation of the world is concerned, is called the ratzon, the will that the Eibishter had to create the world. And I guess on a higher level, this means also p'nimiyas ratzon ha'elyon v'chavtzi amiti, not just the will of creation, but the will that is the purpose of creation, the p'nimiyas ha'ratzon, that Hashem has that Yidden should learn Teda and do mitzvahs. This will is the b'minim lach b'nish v'seim shal tzaddikim. Then there is something called Baal HaRatzon, higher than the will, the master of the will, the source of this will, the Eibishter himself, kvayachal. And Baal HaRatzon, the Rebbe connects to tshuva. That although b'minim lach b'nish v'seim shal tzaddikim, the design of creation is for the sake of tzaddikim and the avoida of tzaddikim, but higher than the framework of creation, there is the Eibishter himself, Baal HaRatzon. And Baal HaRatzon involves also the idea of tshuva. And when and if a Yid does tshuva, this inyan ha-tshuva is considered a chiddush, or as I discussed with you in the previous class, and we're going to be learning it tonight, there is chiddush and then there's chiddush amiti over the aveda of a tzaddik's b'minim lach b'nish v'seim shal tzaddik. This is what we learned. Then when it got to talking about tshuva, we had a couple of breakdowns of the idea of tshuva. The basic breakdown of the idea of tshuva is that every idea of tshuva has two parts, gavra and cheftza. The idea that when you're doing tshuva, that how the tshuva affects the person, that you come closer to the Eibishter in an extreme way. And in addition, that when you're doing tshuva, you're bringing the world closer to the Eibishter through the Avodas HaTshuva also in an extreme way. That's his number one. Number two, there's the Inyan of tshuva of the neshama. And I proposed in the class I gave that this is Peni Perek Lamed Aleph. That when a Yid does tshuva for the neshama, this means that his neshama is in this world. And he learns Teda and does mitzvahs to redeem the neshama from the Mishcha de Chivya, from the Cheshach Kafa Mechupal of this world, Lashov al Cheik Avia Kineyoreha, as it was before with Yedid Lamata, this is a tshuva of the neshama. When the neshama does tshuva, the Rebbe said, that's also Chiddush, it's also outside of the B'minim Lach Manish Masei Mishal Tzadikim. But then the Rebbe said, the tshuva of the neshama is not so much in Yina tshuva, because the nature of the neshama is that it wants to be one with Elokus. And therefore the Rebbe took it to the next level, that the idea of tshuva is when you have tshuva of the guf and the nefesh ha-bahamis, the body and the animal soul. And again, I propose that this is already Tanya Pedek Lamed Zayin, where you're, or Pedek Lamed Hey, where when you're doing tshuva, you're elevating your body and your animal soul, and of course they're klipa, they're not in contact with the Ratzon HaElyon naturally. And when the world presents you with obstacles, and your guf and the nefesh ha-bahamis become part of those obstacles, and you surmount, you overcome those obstacles, that tshuva has malas achidish. And one of the ideas that the Rebbe connected it to was the Indian of Tzchekos Ali Alekim. That Alekim means concealment, challenge, helem v'hester. And that the concealment of Shem Alekim reveals Tzchek, laughter. And this is the Taich V'shafti B'shalom. And of course, this maimed is called V'shafti B'shalom, and the idea of V'shafti B'shalom is going to be revisited many, many times. But the nekuda V'shafti B'shalom means that I'm going to do the avoid of tshuva. V'shafti doesn't mean I'm going to return. V'shafti means I'm going to do tshuva. Lechem lechem lebeged lilbish is teda in mitzvahs. V'shafti B'shalom is tshuva. And the V'shafti B'shalom is not only in the neshama, but the V'shafti B'shalom is in the guf of the nefesh ha-bahamis, or if I can go back to the earlier point, when the V'shafti B'shalom is not only in the person, but the V'shafti B'shalom is also in the world, that's a bigger chiddush, and it affects to a greater extent the union of the two points of this maimed ultimately, of a Ahaya Havaya Lila Likim and Beis Likim, which we can talk about later on. This is a review of the previous shir. We start now Peidik Yud Zayin, which is on top of page Ein Ches. And we're going to be reading inside, with Hashem's help, of course, we're going to be reading inside the continuation of the Maimed. And I would like you to appreciate, as we go forward, that we're going to go to another level of tshuva. We have tshuva of the neshama, we have tshuva of the guf, the nefesh ha-bamis, and now we're going to have a tshuva of what we call chelki be'elam, the tshuva of the physical things in the world which the Eibishter gave us, that they too need to be returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because they're further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they're v'shafti b'shalom, their tshuva is greater and higher. And of course, in the language of the Maimed, it's a bigger chiddush, to the extent it's even chiddush amiti. But as we journey through this, we're going to encounter some moiden dika derheren. There's a number of things that Rebbe says here which are so exciting, so extraordinary, so special. But let's get to it. Yes, says the Rebbe Perek Zayin at the beginning. Once we established that there's a difference in the tshuva of the neshama and the tshuva of the guf nefesh habamis, and only when you do tshuva do you reveal helam haatzmi, you can explain hayisrin, another advantage. Now we know already the idea of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. When a Yid learns Teda and does mitzvahs, he's bringing himself close to the Eibishter, and on some level he's actually elevating the world, especially when one is doing mitzvahs, because mitzvahs involve Varb Gashmir. However, when we're not talking about learning Teda, we're not talking about doing mitzvahs, we're talking about Maasecha and Drachecha, your parochial life, your regular living, your work, your entertainment, your vacation, your downtime, all the ordinary material things that most ordinary people engage with or in. And there is an idea of L'shem Shamayim, that whatever you're doing, all of your maisim have a spirit of L'shem Shamayim, and all of your drachim have a purpose of the Eyu, to come to know HaKadosh Baruch. which means that there's no part of your life with which you're not serving Him. Obviously, you're serving Him when you learn Torah and doing mitzvahs. But ideally and truthfully, no matter what you're doing, and even if you're being entertained, even if you're enjoying it, there's a L'shem Shamayim and there's a De'ehu. I don't know if you remember, but I remember, and I actually saw the video recently. There's a Yid whose name is Mr. David Chase. Malav Hashalom. David Chase was a big gvir, a very wealthy man. He was the head of the Machne Yisrael Development Fund. And he really had a personal relationship with the Rebbe. A really personal relationship with the Rebbe. They developed over many, many years, Mr. Chase, David Chase. And the moment that most of us remember is the groundbreaking, when he spoke in front of the Rebbe, by the Rebbe's request, in Mameloshim. But the other famous event that involves Mr. Chase and the Rebbe that all of Lubavitch knows about is the story with the Yat. That it was Yeralef Nissen. So that was being televised. And Mr. Chase was actually at the Fabrengen. And the Rebbe was discussing Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Neach. How all of mankind has to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and keep the Sheva Mitzvahs and so on. So he told the story that there's a Yid that the Eibishter blessed him with Nechasim, with wealth. And amongst his many Nechasim, he also has a Yacht. What the Rebbe called a Yacht, a Yacht. And then when he wants to relax, he goes out on the Yacht and he has a captain and a whole crew of people who manage this yacht for him, and this is how he relaxes. And in the morning, he came to the captain of the yacht, and he asked him which direction was east. So he showed him which way was east. And it came the next morning, again, Mr. Chase looks for the captain, or he calls the captain, and he asks him which way is east. This repeats itself for a number of times. So finally, the captain says to Mr. Chase, are you studying navigation? Are you trying to figure out how to navigate ships? He says, no, I'm not studying navigation, I just need to pray. And I have to know which way is Mizrach. So the Rebbe said, this captain was a non-Jew. And, you know, he said to himself, this Mr. Chase is such a successful man, he's so wealthy. He's so successful, so well-respected. And he feels an obligation to stop his life and to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I, who am a small little cog, can certainly daven. And when they came into port, the next time he asked permission to take his wife and to go to the Beis Tifel, to go to the church where they pray, that he should be able to daven to HaKadosh Baruch. And the Rebbe brought out the point that Mr. Chase, not by doing something so glorious, simply by living his life and enjoying the teva, you know, the wealth that the Eibishter gave him, but he needed to daven. He didn't daven all day long. He davened for a few minutes. But it brought a L'shem Shamayim into everything to the extent that it hashpah on a non-Jew, that the non-Jew should say, if Mr. Chase can pray, I can certainly pray. This is an example. I'm trying to find form for this idea. Masech and rachach. We're talking about ordinary things, regular, everyday things that a person possesses. And when there's a sincere living in the person, there's no part of one's life that's outside of the L'shem Shamayim, and there's no part of one's life that's outside of the Eibishter. Whatever we're doing, we're involved with the Eibishter, and whatever we're doing, we're knowing HaKadosh Baruch. And the Rebbe argues this is even more of a tshuva than the tshuva of the neshama and the tshuva of the guf and nefesh habahamis. And it's also more of a tshuva than the tshuva of Torah and mitzvahs. This is the tshuva of b'chol d'rasecha. You're taking things which are outside of Yiddishkeit completely and you're using them in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not by making them into mitzvahs, but simply by using them in an ordinary way. But there's a L'shem Shamayim and there's a L'ehu. This is the maximum tshuva, the maximum chiddush. And here's how the Rebbe explains why. And the Rebbe adds in the second line the point that he keeps on making. This idea that when you use Masecha and Rechecha for L'shem Shamayim and De'ehu, there's a maximum tshuva, there are both aspects. Not only is it true that you're elevating the world, the possessions that you're bringing into the sphere of Elokus through the L'shem Shamayim and the De'ehu, but the person, and even the person's neshama, that's doing tshuva, when it's doing tshuva, when it's returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'shafti b'shalom. And it's, V'shafti b'shalom means I will do tshuva in peace. That's the taich. V'shafti b'shalom, not in Torah and mitzvahs, and not in dveikas nelakus, but in masech and rechacha being l'shem shamayim. And the ehu, it's the maximum tshuva, and it's the maximum chiddush. Ki. Zeshan neshama David dasa bide dasa lamato. We discussed earlier that neshama comes down into this world and it serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we already established Nasis bebechinis Baal Tshuva becomes a Baal Tshuva. The beginning of that Tshuva is the Neshama's Tshuva. The Hemshach of that Tshuva, the Tshuva in the Guf of the Nevesh HaBahamis. In other words, anything outside of Tehillim and Mitzvahs. When the Neshama does Tshuva and the Guf of the Nevesh HaBahamis do Tshuva, it's Echid Gvaldik. But it doesn't compare to the Tshuva when we involved Masecha and Drachecha. The idea of tshuva, and specifically the tshuva is considered a chiddush, a shtikel, a nayis, beyond the b'min nimlach v'nishmaseim shal tzaddikim for teiru mitzvahs. It's primarily when we're not doing it in teiru mitzvahs directly, when we're doing it in yadam of reshus. And the Rebbe gives a moidin dik a hezbir, a very gishmak a hezbir. V'inyin hud hiniksiv, it says in the pasuk v'amich kulam tzaddikim. All Jews are tzaddikim, right? We don't know this pasuk from Tanakh, right? The pasuk is in Yeshaya. We know the pasuk from the Mishnah, which is the Mishnah in Perek Chelek, the 10th Perek of Sanhedrin. And of course, we say it every week in Pirkei Avos. They never put it into the Yerbeis Psukim, Umayimara Chazal. The children will memorize this Mishnah, right? Kol Yisrael, Yashlam Chelek Elam Basha Ne'emar. Every Jew has a portion of the world to come. Like it says in the pasuk, V'ameh Kulam Tzaddikim Le'elam Yeshuaretz. Ne'itzem Atoy Master Adelispoy. So of course, the question becomes that that's a lie. It's not true. Many people are Benyanim. And some people who are less than Benyanim. How do we make a statement? How does the Torah say? And it's the basis for this Mishnah that Kol Yisrael, Yesh Tam Chelek Lel Mabo, not every Yid is a Tzaddik. And the Rebbe gives a Moedin Dik Teretz. In other words, he gives a real Teretz. Not a simple Teretz, but he gives a real Teretz. Listen to this. V'atam Azeh. How could you say, I'm 5 lines into Perek Yud Zayin. How could you say that every Yid is a Tzaddik? So he brings the Rambam. Lefi shamitas musaj kolachad mi Yisraelu, the true substance, the true essence of every single Jew is kaniska le'el. As we discussed earlier, nafshi halakis, the godly soul. Ukepsakdin ha-Rambam. And when it comes to the neshama, it says in the Rambam, "Who will the neshama perikat beis?" Shereteinei ha'amiti shel kol echad ve'echad miYisrael. The true will of every single Jew, who lasais, is to do kol ma shehu ratzon Hashem, do whatever the Eibishter commands. And I want to talk about this for a second. I want to just stop on this and make this point. Right, the Rebbe referred to the Rambam in Hilchos Gedish in Sof Perik Beis Halacha Chof hundreds of times. And what the Rebbe was doing in quoting this Rambam was bringing a raya from halacha, from nigla de teira, to a basic concept of chassidus, or the most basic concept of chassidus, right? What's the most basic concept of chassidus? The most basic concept of chassidus is that elokus does not have to be brought to a Jew, it has to be revealed from within a Jew. And ultimately, not just a Jew, but everything in creation. What's chassidus? Chassidus says you have God inside you. So you don't have to learn God, you have to simply uncover Him. It's really the essence of Chassidus. That every Jew, no matter how far or close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu they may be, how initiated or uninitiated, how informed or uninformed, their connection to Hashem is in their neshama. It's on the inside, and it radiates from inside to outside. And the whole inyan of Chassidus is to focus on touching and arousing the inner Jew rather than to create a Jew from without through learning and inspiration. You have to have both, really. But the whole nekuda, the chiddush of chassidus, that inside a yid is already nekudas hayadus. This is called the pinta of the yid, it's called yechidus shebenefesh. And in Tanya it's called chochma shebenefesh. Tanya Perik Yudches and Yudches, chapters 18 and 19 is called chochma shebenefesh. And of course, there in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe discusses at length inyan ha-mesiras nefesh. That the reason by yidin is inyan ha-mesiras nefesh because of pinta of the yid, nekudas hayadus. And what the Alter Rebbe argues is that Mesiras Nefesh by a Yid is completely irrational, as opposed to Mesiras Nefesh by a non-Yid. And the proof is, you can have a Yid, a person, who lived his whole life in a way which is antithetical to Ratzon Olam. He wasn't from, didn't live a Jewish life. Certainly was not very particular about Yiddishkeit. And when push comes to shove, when he faces a test, Nisoyim B'dvar Amunah by the Shem Echad, when he faces a test where he's going to have to say to himself, that if I cross over this line, I will cut myself off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I will never be able to retrace my steps. I'll never be able to go back and be involved in Mechitzas Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Amish Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's Meisa Nefesh HaKedesh Hashem. He sacrifices his life. Even if he is what we would call, for the sake of argument, for lack of words, a secular Jew. The only explanation for this phenomenon, the only explanation for this tendency within Yidden to basically die for a cause they don't believe in, is because this is not something that they're learning, it's something that they are. So this is axiomatic to Chassidus, right? And in Dayem Yem, one of the expressions which is brought, Ayid nishter vil nishter kon veren obgrisen von Getlachait. A Jew neither wishes nor is able to become cut off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Yechid Hashem Nefesh. Pintel Yid. So the Rebbe finds a Rambam, which is a Gemara Nigel Detayra, to prove this idea, Api Allah, Api Nigel Detayra. And by the way, the source of this Rambam is also the Gemara and the Psukim. And there's more examples. The Rebbe brings Hilchas Gedishin, Perek Beis Al Achachav, because over there the Rambam explains the whole Inyan. But you have the same idea about Karbonis. If it's in Rashi, the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, right? Yakriv Eisei means Bal Korche. When a person has to bring a carbon, you can force him. Lirtseine means he can only bring it by his own will. So Rashi asks, either it's Yakriv Eisei, which is Bal Korche, or it's Lirtseine, but it's his own wishes. And Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, Keifenei Sachem Eraitse, he has to bring a carbon. He doesn't want to. You beat him until he says, I want. So it's not limited to the halacha of Gedish. The Rebbe quotes that halacha because over there the Rambam goes into the philosophy of it. That the Rambam says in Nigel Detayra that if a person has an obligation to do a mitzvah, we're not talking about a person's volunteering to do a mitzvah. When Torah demands that he does a mitzvah, like bring a korban, or when the obligation to divorce his wife is not a choice, or it's not a lack of shalom bayis, it's pashat, they're not allowed to live together. Which means Torah demands that they give a get, not choosing to give a get. So you beat him, kefenes, hachemereitz, hani, he doesn't want. And even if before he says he doesn't want, and after he says he doesn't want, and he says that the only reason he agreed was because he was being beaten. So we say that it's a kosher, a get, it's not considered a forced get, a get mu'usa, which is not possible, not kosher. It's a good karm, it's not considered a forced karm. Why? Because the truth of every Jew is that he wants to do what the Eibishter wants. The fact that he screams he doesn't want is him being disconnected from his own true essence, from his own true self, which is that he wants to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, when you beat him, kefenes, and he says, reitzani, that reitzani is the truth. And all the other things that he said before and after, they're not the truth of his inner self. This is a halachic form to this mystical idea of a pintel yid. And the halacha says that because the true will of a Jew is to do what the Eibishter wants, when he's mechuyev, when he's mandated, obligated to do it, and he says, reitzani, I'm agreeing to do it, even though he really doesn't feel that way in his heart, we say that's his truth. It's coming from his inside. So the Rebbe says, that when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, every yid is a tzaddik, means every yid wants to do what the Eibishter wants. V'haraya, if you'll hit him and he'll say reitzani, the Rambam will paskin that it's a real mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah and he says reitzani, he has no obligation to bring a korban, there's no obligation to give a get, and you force him, he says reitzani, it doesn't work. It only works because he has an obligation min hashamayim. And that's what the Rebbe now says here. V'kasher keifin eisei, when you coerce him, you force him. U'mikoshke in kasher atzmei keif etz atzmei. This is particularly true, even more true, when he coerces himself. Lasa is eiz a mitzvah to do a mitzvah. So we don't say that he's being forced. We say toshash yitzrei hara. His yitzhar has been made weaker. The true will of this yid is revealed, and a yid wants to do what the Eibishter wants. So this is a Rambam that we know, we learn about it in so many sikhs of the Rebbe. And like I told you before, this Rambam is really a halachic version of the mystical idea which is found in Tanya and in Chassidus of an akudas apinta liyid, ava misuteris. So now the Rebbe says something very interesting. Any time a Jew does a mitzvah, let's assume a Jew is not in the right way, but he does a mitzvah. So the Rebbe would say the same logic that the Rambam applies to the case where you force him applies to any time a Jew does any mitzvah. That any time any Jew does a mitzvah, even if the rest of his time he's not doing mitzvahs, and the rest of his time he may regret doing those mitzvahs, that's his true self. Let's read it inside. And whereas at that moment, he's involved in teiru mitzvahs, mizgalabed etzeni amiti, it's revealing his true will, his true pnimius, his true neshama. the nefesh of the gizif, his divine soul. Look at the next words. In those moments, you're not going to say he's a tzaddik, that he's perfect. But he's an idea of a tzaddik. What's the taich of tzaddik? Asanish kanayas. That's not a chiddush. When a human being does something which is consistent with his nature, it's not a chiddush. It's not novel. When a human being does something which is against his nature, that is novel. Like you have many, many stories about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was midas hachesed. And only when he took Yitzchak to the Akedah, which required a lot of gevura, we say, Ata yadaiti kirei l'kimata. Hashem says to Avraham, now I know you mean it mitanemes, because you didn't only serve me when it was in concert with your nature of Avraham, Oyavi, Avraham whose midah was Ahava, but you served me also as against your midah. So if a Yid Teva is to what the Eibishter wants, any time does the Eibishter wants, he's simply actualizing his real mahus, that's tzaddik, it's not Baal Tshuva, it's not Chiddush. The Hagam, although, Shagam b'shazu guf, even at that very moment, after it's conceivable, Sheyebe and Yonam dehebecha kedusha, this person may not be perfect. In other areas, he's involved with things which are not holy. Mikomokumikiven, nevertheless, whereas, Shatam o amiti lazesha makayma mitzvah, the real reason he's doing this mitzvah is hu lefishin is gala beit etzeni apnimi. He's revealing his innermost will. Says the Rebbe, Harei b'negeil la'mitzvah she'eseh, and as much as this mitzvah is concerned, hu b'b'chin ha'tzadik is a tzadik. And this is the Rebbe's chiddush. Anytime, any year, does any mitzvah, there's an aspect of revealing his nature here. That's in the parameters of tzadik, in shakanayas. V'zehu, and the Rebbe, of course, ties this in with the psukim, and I'm going to skip the next couple lines. I'm going to skip the next three lines about nasan li lechem, Lechel Abeged Lilbish, we're going to go straight on to the Vishafti B'Shalom. So I want you to go down now to six lines from the end of page Ayin Ches. V'lachem, therefore. K'mei she'b'tzadik, just like by a tzadik. Ein she'ach le'mish avidasi b'shalom. You're not going to say by a tzadik that he's doing extreme things, that he's doing something which constitutes a chiddush. Mekiven she'ein le'yetzer hara, klal tzadikim lo yetzer hara. Says the Rebbe, just like a tzaddik has no yetzer hara at the moment that any yid does any mitzvah, he's a tzaddik. The same is true also when it comes to teiru mitzvahs, which is called lechem lecha do beged lilbish, as opposed to tshuva, which you'll see later on in the maimed, it's called v'shafti b'shalim. The kol lechot miyisrael. Every single Jew, every time any Jew does any mitzvah, he's expressing his tzaddik. What does that mean? His nature to serve Hashem. Mekivan shebeshazu, at that hour, at that moment, oimid begiloy, it's standing revealed. Harat, the nefesh alikiyah, is the will of the divine soul. Vateru mitzvah she'esa, the teru mitzvah which he performs, is mitzadras na neshama, is based on the nature and the will of his neshama, which is bechinas tzadik shaboy. So here you have a real pshat in this Mishnah in Sanhedrin. When the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, kol yisrael yeshlam chelik le'elam abosh, shenem v'amir chulam tzadik. Every Jew has a portion of the world to come, because what tzaddikim means. Every Jew has a portion of the world to come, because the nature of every Jew is to serve Hashem. And it's lo yimale that nature emerges at least once in his lifetime. And when the nature emerges, he's the bechinas tzaddik. With the milus of tzaddik. But it's not tshuva. So now we continue second line from the bottom of page, ayin ches, masha'ein kin g'she'ezi b'nyan rishos. But this idea that the nature of a Yid to serve Hashem is only when it comes to teiru mitzvahs. If it's not teiru mitzvahs, for example, if he's not mechuyev to bring a carbon, he's thinking to bring a carbon on his own. He's not mechuyev to give his wife a get. He's choosing, thinking to give his wife a get. You don't say kefen emes at sheyem eitzen. You don't say forcing him works, because if it's not Hashem's will, we don't say that will of Hashem as he performs it is his true will, because if it's not the yonim of Yiddishkeit directly, he can do whatever he wants. So the Rebbe says, kishayisik ben yoni rishus, when a person is involved in permitted things. Kivon shasa yasa yinyonim elu, whereas his involvement in these things is mitzad tzedech haguf, because the body needs them. V'kiyumin, he gives the body existence. V'chiyusin, he gives the bottom life, which you have in Tanya. It mentions here, Perek Zayin. Oigam mitzad nafsha bahamis. Moreover, it may taka be his yitzahara. Al-Tanabi speaks about in Tanya that a person needs to keep his body alive. And if you're keeping your body alive, that's klipas noiga. And if you have kavana l'shem shamayim, it's elevated to kedusha. If you have no kavana, so then it remains klipas nega. If you have a negative kavana, so there's a whole question of etiyedet lefishah and koshu as b'deachitzenim to the madrega of sholosh klipas hatmeyas lagamri. But when a yid is involved in worldly things, this is not the Ratzon of Hashem, this is Him. That the animal soul desires by nature matters of this world. Top of page, I intest now. In this case, it hides and covers over the godly soul. Says the Rebbe Lachain, according to this, when the masecha de derachecha, the parochial life of a Jew, which is not connected to Torah mitzvahs directly at all, and he enjoys these things because he needs these things, and maybe because he wants these things. But because of who he is, there's a spirit of L'shem Shamayim, and there's even a spirit of the Ehu, this is tshuva. This is chidush, this is outside of his nature. This you're not going to say happens because his neshama is drawn to Elokus. This is happening because he's being machadish, a new inyan, his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, inyan atshuva. And the Rebbe's argument is, this idea of tshuva is greater than the tshuva of the neshama. It's greater than the tshuva of the guf nefesh habamis. This is a tshuva which is connected to divrei harashus. And now the Rebbe begins Perek Yud Ches, Vehine. In Perek Yud Zayin, the Rebbe argued that Torah and mitzvahs are part of the B'min Nimlach B'nei Shreseim Shal Tzadik. In Yonim of Rishus, this is Nina Tshuva. Now the Rebbe stretches it. He has another Nekud. There are many Jews who live in parts of the world where Torah and mitzvahs is excessively difficult, like Yidden living in Soviet Russia, or you'd live in other kinds of environments. And even in the West, where Baruch Hashem, Bagashmes, we're so safe and we're so protected, but we're, what I heard from a shliach recently when I visited him for a Shabbos, the American Holocaust has cost more lives than the German Holocaust, Yimach Shemam, the Ruchni is the physical Holocaust. We've lost so many millions of Jews to assimilation and to, I don't know what. It's terrible, it's tragic. And you have to fight to be a Yid. So the Rebbe is now going to argue that under certain conditions, even Torah and Mitzvahs is a Chiddush. Vehine, B'klolos Yesir. To say a little bit differently and more broadly than we spoke in the previous Perek, I want to add, says the Rebbe, Gam o aveda de Torah Mitzvahs, even the work of Yiddishkeit, if, kasher hi be'efen, if it's done under a condition, Sha'adam tzarech lichpesh es Yitzrei, that in order to do them has to have a huge fight with Yetzer Hara, not a small fight, but a gigantic fight. He doesn't have a little struggle. He has a huge, huge and overwhelming struggle. Ubefrat bezman agolos, especially in times of golos, sheshtem kamem enias vikuvim, when the obstacles and the blockages are coming from outside of him also. Al esek hateidah v'amitzvahs, for the learning teidah and doing mitzvahs. V'tzarech li'izgavet aleihem, he must strengthen himself above them. Says the Rebbe, hu b'chal avodas ha'tshuva, it's also included in tshuva. Even though before we said, the Torah mitzvah is tzaddik, and only b'chol drachecha de'ein kol masecha l'shem shemayim is tshuva. And we made a point: Torah mitzvah is tzaddik even by a poshet yid. Torah mitzvah is tzaddik even by a yid doesn't do too many mitzvahs. But when he's doing a mitzvah, his neshama is being revealed. Now the Rebbe says, if he has hardships and he has obstacles and he has challenges, so that Torah mitzvah also has the malas tshuva. I just want to share a story which I've told before. It's printed in the sefer called the Reb Mendel from the Mendel Futafas. It's a familiar story. It's just an overwhelming story. The story briefly is that by the Baal Shem Tev there was a tkufa, by the Shem Tev was a period of time when the Baal Shem Tev was what you and I would call depressed. Tzaddikim, you can't say depression because they don't have klipa, but you could have withdrawnness, siluk, to withdraw. Baal Shem Tev was very withdrawn, very unavailable. And the Chavraya Kaddish were very disturbed by the Baal Shem Tev's his being pulled back, withdrawn. So they tried to cheer him up, to bring him out of that place. They were Talmidei al-Baal Shem Tev, they were themselves tzaddikim and goinim, and they used methods and techniques that were meaningful for the Baal Shem Tev to sort of wake him up, to bring him out, and nothing worked. One afternoon, a farmer walked into the Baal Shem Tev's besmedesh in Medrash. Obemamish, a farmer, a peasant from a nearby village, who was a true Loyada Maikom Menik, and he was not the Tzaddik Nista, he was a simple man, could barely read and write. And his whole life was the farm, his cow and his sheep and his goats and his chickens and his barn and his wheat and his cotton and his hay. And he came to the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov sees him, And Rosh Hashanah tells him, Shalom Aleichem. You know, we all know how much the Baal Shem Tov loved Anashim Pshutim. And the Baal Shem Tov sits down to schmooze with this guy. And they sit for a long time. And they're talking about cows and chickens and goats. You could think they're talking about Ilmus Ein Sof. And the Baal Shem Tov is so excited and he's so animated and he's enjoying this man's discussing his cow and his goats and his chickens. And when he finally leaves, the Baal Shem Tov's mood was transformed. He was in incredibly good space. So the Chavraya Kandisha asked the holy Baal Shem Tov, is this a tzaddik nister that we don't recognize who gave the Baal Shem Tov such joy by talking about cows and chickens and goats and hay and wool and wheat and cotton? He says, no, he's a Pashta Yid. So they said, Rebbe, we've been trying to, so to speak, bring you out of your introversion for all this time. And this Pashta Yid, by talking to you about very, very lowly things, was able to wake you up, to ignite you, so to speak. So the Baal Shem Tov said as follows. This man had a test that is so great that a test of this magnitude has not been since Avraham Avinu was tested to take Yitzchak Avinu to the Akedah, and he passed his test. This man was given a test, and he saw it. And relative to who he was, this test was equal to the test that the Eibishter gave Avraham when he told him, Kachno as binecha sichitcha shahavtas Yitzchak v'lech lecha. He told him to bring him to Har HaMoriah. And he told him the story. He was very poor, and he didn't spend anything on himself. Everything went for the Yitzhak HaBayis. But one thing, every once in a while, he put away a coin for an esrik. His mitzvah was esrik. Every year before Sukkot, the merchants would wait for him. He would come, he had a few more dollars. I mean, everybody was poor. He would save money, and he'd buy a nicer esrik, or the nicest esrik. One year, he comes home with the esrik, and his wife says to him, you have to sell it. We need the esrik for household expenses, or for a shidduch, for the kala, whatever, for one of the daughters, and so on. He hesitated. So in her frustration, she bit off the pitim. By biting off the pitim, she guaranteed that it was worthless, no one's going to buy it back. And he couldn't use it. So this man, instead of getting angry at his wife, which is of course a very natural reaction, he said to himself, the fact that my wife broke off the pitim, and I didn't even have a chance to make a bracha on this esrig once, is proof that min hashamayim, I'm not deserving to have such a chosh of a esrig, and that's why my wife bit the pitim off, and he didn't display and feel any anger towards her at all. So the Baal Shem Tov said, this individual, when he held back, when he was Maivid al Midesav, we did not get angry at his wife for that test, was met with a challenge equal to the test of Avraham Avinu taking Yitzchak to the Akedah. Could you imagine? So the Rebbe says, there can be tshuva and teira and mitzvahs if the teira and mitzvahs are under duress. Ordinary teira and mitzvahs, even by a simple Jew, is part of tzaddik. But extreme teira and mitzvahs, when you're dealing with it under very difficult conditions, it's considered mesiras nefesh, even when, quote, all it is teira and mitzvahs. And when it comes to teira and mitzvahs, we say this is the true wish of a Jew. So let's read it inside. Ubazayuv mashikosav hazeh, there brings the zeh that says that shekishero Yankov Avinu saw ha'nius v'hatzar, the poverty and suffering sheyia b'zman golos Edom, that Yidden are going to experience in the final golos, the golos of Edom, which is basically Rome. And by the way, in Sfarim it says that Edom includes Rome and Bnei Yishmael, the Islamic faith. U'befrat b'seiv z'man ha'golos, more specifically at the end of golos, which is of course our time. So when Yankiv saw how much Yidden are going to go through, Yankiv said, Omar v'shafti b'shalom ha'beisav, I'm going to return home in peace to my father's house. V'omar, and he said, v'nasan li lechem lechel abeged l'lubash, you give me food to eat and clothing to wear. Now you must understand what the Zayah is. The Zayah misquotes a pasuk. Why? Because in the Chumash, v'shafti b'shalom ha'beisav, is written after v'nasan Hashem li lechem lechel abeged l'lubash. And the Zayah moves the words v'shafti from after to before. So the Rebbe observes, anyway, I don't understand. Any movement? Halib pasuk zenema. If you look at the original pasuk, you'll see that the nos anli lechem vegamer, give me bread and give me clothing, is written first. V'yachakach v'shafti v'shalom. Only afterwards, they said, I'm going to return in peace. Umadu emagdim bezeya. Why does they turn it around and put the v'shafti v'shalom lifnei v'nos anli lechem before the Eibush giving us bread? And of course the answer is because lechem lechel beged lubash is teirin mitzvahs, and v'shafti is tshuva. And normally tshuva is separate from Torah mitzvahs. But the Zayir says there are instances when the daily performance of Torah mitzvahs is so challenging that it's inyan tshuva. Since the Zayir is discussing poverty and suffrage in the times of Galo, skip the next four lines, please. Okay? I'm skipping the whole bracket. Therefore, he first speaks about tshuva and then he speaks about Torah mitzvahs. Why? Normally, Torah mitzvahs is the lower level and tshuva is the higher level. Normally, Torah mitzvahs is the level of b'minim lach b'nishu seim shal tzadikim. And tshuva is ma'as habal tshuva, which is a chiddush. But over here, he speaks about tshuva before Torah mitzvahs. Why? When Yidden and Golos experience hiddenness and concealment, says that Rebbe Gam Aveda the Torah mitzvahs, even their daily performance of Torah mitzvahs, parenthesis, lechem, which means Torah, and beged, which means mitzvahs, is idei agdomas in yinat tshuva. First, you do tshuva, which is v'shafti b'shalom. Because in doing tshuva, and of course you and I know that the key additional terminology that we want to add to any discussion on tshuva is the word chiddush. It's outside of the hamloch. It's outside of the ratz. It's outside of the original divine plan. And it's possible that a yid is simply learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, and it's a chiddush. It's tshuva. It's out of the divine plan because of the hardships. Gam ha'aveda the Torah mitzvahs lechem u'beged ha'adamas inyan ha'tshuva v'shafti b'shalom. When the hardships are so severe, you can only learn Torah mitzvahs if you first do tshuva. Shekelel is gabrus al ha'meniyas v'ikuvim, which includes overcoming the obstacles. So in the previous peidik, in peidik Yudzayin, the Rebbe said that tshuva is dafke b'chol d'rochecha de'eyon kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. I'm sorry. In this peidik, the Rebbe says that there are instances where even regular Torah mitzvahs is in yinat tshuva. And we continue. I am 9 lines from the end of the paragraph on page Ayintes, Sifchai, Yudches. Because of lechem v'geimer, lifnei v'shafti b'shalom, the reason that the pasuk is written the other way, that first you speak about Torah mitzvahs and then you speak about tshuva, because the Torah is describing normal times. And in normal times, Torah mitzvahs is not tshuva, Torah mitzvahs is b'minim lach b'nish m'seim shal tzadikim, only tshuva is tshuva. Even though the whole avoid of Yid in this world is connected to going out of Be'eshev and going to Choron, but it happens in every generation, including generations when Jewish people lived, relatively speaking, peacefully and safely. Gam lefnei zman ha'golus, especially when there's no golus, says the Rebbe. So although who you need is a neshama lamata beklal, it's the neshama coming into this world, but it's v'lei hayerida de golos. It's not golos, and even in zman ha'golos gufa, there are good times in golos as well. U'mikiv anshe b'zman ha'bayis, therefore, even the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Ha'vei de tshuva hi bebirer dinyani harashus. When a yid is learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, that's not a chiddush. When a yid is learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, that is b'minim lach b'nish v'seim shal tzadikim. It's only the ratzon. There's no idea of higher than ratzon. And the only way you have tshuva is dinyani rishus. If you're living in a good time and you want to do tshuva and want to have ma'as achidush, that's only through b'chol d'rachecha de'eyu kol ma'asecha yil l'shem shemayim b'chol d'rachecha de'eyu, because Torah mitzvahs is tzadik. Mash'ein kin aveda the Torah mitzvahs, as opposed to yiddishkeit b'klolos aveda tzadikim. In good times, all yidden are tzadikim and Torah mitzvahs is tzadik, like we said in Pradik Yud Zayin, from this pasuk va'amir kulam tzadik. That's why in the Chumash it says first, which is Torah and mitzvahs, which is tshuva, only comes afterwards. Because first he describes Torah and mitzvahs per se, and then he describes tshuva. Only one is involved in Torah and mitzvahs, which is connected to the godly soul, Oz dafke then efshalias habir or then yonirashus. Can you then extend your avodas Hashem to l'shem shamayim and da'ehu, where you elevate things that are outside the parameters of teiru and mitzvahs, and only there would you have milas atshuva v'shafti b'shalom. And the Rebbe says v'al derech ma'imerazal k'sheit atzmachal v'achachach k'sheit achir. So in this perek itchas the Rebbe says hezechayim. As a rule, teiru and mitzvahs is tzaddik. Teiru and mitzvahs is tzaddik. Even by yid is not so frum, because when he does the rasslam the eibush that it is rasseni yamid. Tshuva, Baal Tshuva is Chiddush. Now, in severe generations, the daily avoid of a Yid has the Milas HaTshuva. But in ordinary generations, the regular avoid of a Yid, if it's been a Yid, a Teiru Mitzvah, that's only Tzaddik. And in order to have the Yid HaTshuva, it's to behold Rechacha De'eh, and call Masacha Yid HaShem Shammai. And we continue. We're now holding Peirik Yutes, that's what we're holding. So, if you will, in the previous class, we had the Tshuva of the Neshama, with the tshuva of the guf and nefesh habamis. And in this class we added the tshuva of a yid in zman ha'golos who's learning Tehillim and doing mitzvahs under the rest, which is also a ma'as ha'tshuva. And the last thing, and the highest thing, is the tshuva of a yid in golos who's kol ma'asecha b'chol d'rachecha l'shem shamayim and d'eyu. His regular life involves in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in Yoni Yeshus. And of all of these things, each later step is a bigger chiddush than the step before. It's closer to this idea of Chiddush Amiti than the step before. And now the Rebbe says, V'yeshleim. We now have a number of different ideas of tshuva. Yeah? The highest idea of tshuva be a tshuva d'haveidah v'chol masecha l'shem shamayim. The tshuva of taking your regular life, your parochial life, your ordinary life, and using it l'shem shamayim. Says the Rebbe, you should know that when you use your regular life, l'shem shamayim, it's not less yeser, meha tshuva, it's higher than tshuva. Both the tshuva of kiyum ha-mitzvahs, bezman ha-golos, what we discussed in Perek Yud-Ches, that if a yid lives in a difficult time, it's to fight with his yeser hara, and he does teiru mitzvahs, it has ma'al sa tshuva, but it's not as great a ma'al sa tshuva as the b'chol ma'asecha, yil l'shem shamayim, b'chol l'rechacha de'el, I'll tell you a ma'ase. This mice we heard in 770 all the time. There was a yid by the name of Asher Sasonke, Reb Asher Batumer. We remember, those who are in my generation remember him. He was, when I knew, an elderly man. His father was a Gaon and a Chosid. His father was Reb Nachum Shmuel Sasonke, the great Rav. Asher Sasonke was a yid of Mesiras Nefesh. The Rebbe once said to him, in a yechidus, you look like you're older than your father. And I don't think for a second the Rebbe meant biologically older. The Rebbe meant spiritually older. And he was more of a lam than people knew. He was a shamus in 770, but he was a chassidish yid in a big time. I remember him learning kutatere. Anyway, he would speak all the big fabrengenish. He had a little casket, a little cap. And he always had the same speech. If you heard one drash, you heard them all, because he would say the same thing in each fabrengen. So one of his few public drashes, which he would repeat over and over again, is as follows. He sat in Siberia for years, close to a decade, maybe more. He was a moiden de kabal yesurim. His life was so difficult, it's indescribable. And he was a chassid, which meant that they couldn't break him. He was made of steel. And the Russians couldn't understand how these yidalach, who were physically not such strong specimen, were unbreakable when these big, massive goyim, they broke so easily. I mean breaking their spirit. I mean breaking their bodies. So when Reb Asher was in jail, he made a Kiddush Hashem. He had a beard. He had a beard in Siberia. You know, at the end of his life, he got Nebuch Yena Machla. And he was taking treatments, and his hair started falling out. He says he's not taking the treatments. He said, I was Mesa Nefesh, that in Siberia I had a beard. So I'm not going to meet my maker without a beard. He passed away before he lost his beard. That's the end of that story. But anyway, this Asher Batumer, when he was in Siberia, made a Baal Tshuva. Now, who's making Baal Tshuva in Russia? Especially in Siberia. He made a Baal Tshuva. Yid became completely frum. And if you're a Baal Tshuva in the Soviet Union, you're in a state of constant Mesiras Nefesh. Because you have to be crazy. You have to be crazy. So Reb Asher said, one of the hardest Yomim Tevim to keep was Chanukah. Because Chanukah is not like Matzah and Pesach. It's not a Deraisa. And the worst crime you could commit in the barracks was light a fire. They could shoot you for lighting a fire because of the fear that the barracks would burn down. So Rabbi Asher was not going to light a menorah because of the sakana shebedavar. And this year decided he's lighting a menorah. So you know what they did from Sukkot time? They would save, they used to give them baked potato. So they would peel out the soft part of the potato and save the shell as a keli. And then they would save butter that they would give them, and they would melt it down, and they would take a piece from their beged, and they had a cup, and they had fuel, and they had a wick. They somehow got fire, and they'd lit the menorah. Every night they would light the menorah in the back of the barracks. All the goyim would watch, because they couldn't believe that a person would be this reckless. And Rav Asher stood next to him. He did it the first night, he did it the second night, he did it the third night, he did it the fourth night, he did it the fifth night. On the fifth night, they're all standing in the back of the barracks, and there's a menorah, and then a chanuk walked in. The warden, the head of the camp, walked into the barrack. He walked straight to the back of the barrack, walked straight through the whole oilam, and everybody is panicked, because they know he could shoot him on sight, and he counts loud in Russian. Loud. Adin, dva, tri, chtiri, pyat. He counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he turns to this yid, and he shouts at him, pyat, 5. And he screams back, pyat, 5. And he walks out. And there was no consequence, there was no punishment, they didn't shoot him, there was no trial. Now, we don't know for sure whether this was a yid who was sensitive to Chanukah, with Pashtan Nesmen HaShamayim. But this yid had the Mesiris Nefesh for a mitzvah, and he pushed it so b'muchash, gili alakus, he saw alakus, b'muchash. If I'm not mistaken, Abarsha, when he left Russia, remained in touch with this yid, he eventually made it out of prison, and he would help him, it's pushed to help him financially. To become a Baal Tshuva in Russia then was an incredibly difficult thing. The point is, this is a Mesiris Nefesh for Yiddishkeit. So the Rebbe says, when you're Mesiris Nefesh for Yiddishkeit, you have the support of the Neshama, of your true self that wants to do the Ratzon of the Eibishter. And therefore, it's not as great as the Tshuva of Kol Masecha Yiyu L'Shem Shamayim and B'chol D'Rechav Adayu. When you bring to the Eibishter parts of your life that are not religion, your food, your clothing, your shelter, your entertainment, your vacation, your hobby, not you stop it, but there's a L'Shem Shamayim and there's a De'eyu in every aspect of your life, says the Rebbe, there's a greater Chiddush, there's a greater aspect of Tshuva in that than a Yid who's doing a Mitzvah Mesiris Nefesh in Russia, because when it comes to a Mitzvah, your Teva is to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch. And then the Rebbe says even more. V'gam mitshuva kipshuta al averes. The tshuva b'chol masecha yil l'shem shamayim. And b'chol rechecha de'eyu was even greater than the tshuva for averes kipshuta. Guy did averes. So it says in Tanya Pedig Zayin, that a person did achmon l'san averes, says kosher v'osar b'dei achitzenim v'einim elim misham adei skates shebul amav asanetzah. Why do we call an avera iser? And a thing which is not an avera we call heter, because the word heter means untied. And the word Issa means shackled, tied down. When you do an Aveda, you are now knotted, you're tied down to Klippa, and you can't go out of it until Mashiach comes. And then the Alter Rebbe says, Oyat Yasa Tshuva G'day L'Kol Kach, Tshuva Me'av Rabba, Chesdei Nisnas L'Kezachi. If you do such a great Tshuva, the Aveda becomes a mitzvah. And the Alter Rebbe explains why, because, Hey, Elal Yedei Zehu Bo, Lidei Av Rabba Zu. What brought you to this excessive love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Aveda? Only when you have a severe setback, only when you feel inhibition, being held back because of an earlier Aveda, does it cause you to dig deep into yourself and bring out a will which is strong enough to overcome that resistance, that inhibition, and run to HaKadosh Baruch. So there's the tshuva of a Baal Tshuva. So the Rebbe says you have three ideas of tshuva here. One idea of tshuva is a Yid in Golos doing Teira Mitzvahs, which is called tshuva, they said in Perik Chai. Another idea of tshuva, the Yid Pasha did Averis, and he's doing tshuva Mi'av Rabba, where the Averis are becoming mitzvahs. And the third is tshuva, where a Yid didn't do Averis, but his parochial life is L'Shem Shamayim and the Eyu. Says the Rebbe, you should know that of these three, the one that's the most tshuvadik, and again, to use the word that is the foundation of the maima we're learning, the one that is the biggest chiddush, the biggest nayis, is not the tshuva of a Yudas Meis Nefesh in Russia for Teda and Mitzvahs. Not the tshuva of one who's doing Aved training, transforming Avedis into Mitzvahs. It's the tshuva of Kol Masecha Yiyu L'Shem Shamayim and Bechol Drachecha Dayu. And here's why. Key. Four lines from the bottom of page 9 test. Because Inyan HaTshuva, when a Yid does tshuva, the Kiyam HaTeru Mitzvahs with Managos, when you're struggling against hardships, physical or spiritual, to be a Yid, and you're doing it anyway, who can also if you tchas, mashemiz gaber, alaminiyas veikuvim the hagolos, you're being stronger than the obstacles of golos, And ve'enim etzchashav imam, you're not reckoning with them. You're not transforming galus into geula. You're not making klipa into gedusha. You're simply ignoring it. With the koyach of your neshama. Says the Rebbe, al derech zo b'tshuva k'pshuta. Even when you're doing tshuva for actual avenis, it's the same thing. Or more or less the same thing. Second line from the bottom of Ayin Tes. The inyan ha-tshuva hu she'yetze mimatzav yakedem. You're going away from one condition and you're putting yourself in a different condition. So when you have hardships and you do a mitzvah anyway, or if yechmona l'tzan you have an aveda, and you overcome that aveda b'tshuva mi'avar abba, in both of those cases, you're transplanting yourself. You're going away from the hardship into a place which is not so hard. You're going away from the negative to a place which is not negative. And he brings the Lashon HaRambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchis Tshuva, where the Rambam discusses the Inyan of a Baal Tshuva, right? You have a number, obviously Hilchis Tshuva talks about Tshuva. So the first few chapters, 1, 2, 3, 4, discuss processes of Tshuva and times of Tshuva and things which you need to do Tshuva and so on. And then you have Perek Hei and Vav, 5 and 6, where he discusses free will, and the person has the koyach to do tshuva no matter what because of his free will. In chapter 7, Peidik Zayin, it's a short little Peidik, a very important Peidik in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam discusses how special the Baal Tshuva is. That yesterday he was so far away and so on, and today he's a Yadid and a Chaviv, and he's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on. Says the Rebbe, last line on page Ayin Tes. Emesh Hayezeh. Yesterday, this person was moved. Umavay Elokei Yisrael, removed from the Eibush Elokei Yisrael. Turn to page Pei. Vayei Mumud Bak B'Shechina. Now he's attached to the Shechina. And of course, the famous Lashna Rambam, which you all know. Ani Eineni Yesi Hish. The person who did the Avedis is no longer here. I'm a different person. Tshuva is very transforming. Says the Rebbe Mashen Kena Tshuva to call Masecha L'Shem Shemayim. But when a person is doing Tshuva, not in the sense where he's running away from his nesienis or running away from his avedas, but he's bringing the Eibishter into his worldly activities, in his drachecha and his maasecha. Mikivan, whereas, there's esha esik b'divri arashus maasecha, his involvement in worldly matters, which is not an aveda, but it's mitzad haguf, v'nefesh habamis, he desires them in his body and his animal soul. And he has no obligation, it's not an amitzah, it's not an aveda. And nevertheless, v'zeshehu oisa oisam l'shem shamayim, when he chooses to do them to serve Hashem and to know Hashem, imayeshu zel mitad haneshama. Of course, his neshama is helping him do this. Hare ein zesh haneshama mizgaberes al aguf v'nefesh abahamis v'yitzas mehem. This isn't the neshama going away from the body towards something else. Kiim, but instead shebasiyazu guf, when you do this action, which is done by the body and animal soul, because it's the body and the animal soul that are involved in the masecha and the drachecha, yeshna hakavana de l'shem shamayim. You have the divine intention of shamayim because of the neshama. So what the Rebbe is trying to say is that since we're not dealing with naveira, but you're dealing with something which is not a mitzvah, when you do it l'shem shamayim, when you do it, you're not going away from it. You're staying there. And there is the world of the guf and the nefesh abahamis, because it's the body and the animal soul that have an interest in these things, that have a liking to these things, that have a desire for these things, and so forth. And when you do it l'shem shemayim and the eyu, you're transforming your involvement in the masecha and the rachecha, you're transforming your neshama. V'inyin zeh, this idea, says the Rebbe, ha'gilui, the nefesh abahamis, Hagil the nefesh alakis, the revealing of the divine soul, binyoni aguf and nefesh abahamis gufa, in the matters of the body and animal soul, not in the struggle of the body and animal soul to go away from it, but in the things that the body and animal soul enjoy, who chiddish godlo yeis, is a bigger chiddish, mizeh, from the fact that neshama miskaberes, from the neshama overcomes, alamas vestatum, the obstacles and the blockages, either from the sienis or from avedis, v'yeitzim hem, and departs from them, while in where you have the chidush of tshuva, here you're not going away from the obstacles, you're making the obstacle itself holy. And we now know, we established it and repeated it, that the advantage of a tzaddik is not the chiddush of bakan al siftes vav, it's the novelty, it's not part of the divine plan, so to speak, in as much as ratzon is concerned, in as much as b'min nimlech b'nishma seim shal tzaddikim is concerned, says that Rebbe Nimtze kum techoiset, it comes out, ikera ili the tshuva, the highest level of tshuva is the tshuva kol masecha l'shem shamayim. So you have the tshuva of the neshama, you have the tshuva of the guf of the nefesh habamis, you have the tshuva of overcoming obstacles in doing teiru mitzvahs and managos, you have the tshuva of doing tshuva for avedas that you did, and yet you have the tshuva that your regular life is the Shem Shemayim and the Eyu. It's the highest kind of tshuva. And in this itself, there's two parts. Yeah, this is the way the Maimer goes. What are the two parts? The Gavra and the Heft. How you're the Shem Shemayim and you're the Eyu returns you to Elokus, and how you're L'Shem Shamayim, you're the Eyu, returns the physical thing that you're doing L'Shem Shamayim and the Eyu to the Yevishter. And of course, since the physical thing is outside of your neshama, it's outside of your guf, as you'll see in this Pedik, it's outside even your Nefesh HaBamis, it's called Chiddush Amiti. Pedik Chof, one more. Afa Pekin, Hakavona B'Yidus HaNeshama L'Mat, the neshama comes into this world. And we already know that the neshama comes into this world not just for tzaddik, but also for tshuva. And not just this kind of tshuva, but this kind of tshuva. So the Rebbe now says, it's lei b'shvil aliyah da neshama. It's not so the neshama should have an aliyah, al yedei yiridas lamata, but coming down into this world. That nasis b'bechinas bal tshuva, that the person becomes a bal tshuva, even though that's also a gevaldik hazach. But the tshuva that you create in the world around yourself. You take worldly things, you take physical things, and you use them in avodas Hashem, and you're bringing them to tshuva. Ki'im, but rather, b'shvel abirur v'hazichuch da'aguf v'nevesh abames v'chalke b'elo. The clarity and the refinement that you're bringing to the body, the animal soul, but most importantly, to your part of the world, to your gashmizdika things, and the permitted gashmizdika things, the masecho and the drachecho. So now the Rebbe is going to explain how there's more tshuva in kol masach l'shem shemayim b'chol d'rachav ha'de'eyu, even over the nefesh ha'bahamis. D'achid isheba tshuva d'ha neshama, when the neshama does tshuva. Mekiv ancha neshama oichei l'kalakami ma'al mamish, whereas the neshama is a piece of Hashem from above. Mamish, harizeh shan neshama mizgaber esal dvarim ha'malim. And of course the neshama has obstacles, which requires the neshama to overcome those obstacles. And do tshuva. Not only is the neshama itself doing tshuva, and I propose that's Tanya Pedik Lamed Aleph, but it brings tshuva to the guf and the nefesh habamis. And I propose that that's Tanya Pedik Lamed Hey, says Rebbe, but both of these things, ein zeh chiddush amiti. It's a chiddush, but not amiti. It's novel, but not truly novel. Now when you're dealing with words like these, you have to define them precisely, clinically. What's a chiddush? What's a chiddush amiti? And of course, the way this discussion would go, if we were having it philosophically, would be, there cannot be a chiddush which is not a chiddush amiti. Because it's not a chiddush amiti, it's a chiddush of sheker. And it's a chiddush of sheker, it's not a chiddush at all. And nevertheless, the Maimon proposes there's something called a chiddush. It's real enough a chiddush to be called a chiddush, not a chiddush of sheker. But amiti, it's not. So how you would separate chiddush from chiddush amiti philosophically in Nigoyin, I'm not certain. In other words, how a chiddush which is not a chiddush amiti is still a chiddush. And nevertheless, chiddush amiti is even more of a chiddush. But this is what the Rebbe says. Ma she'en kein abirer v'azichach da'guv v'nefesh v'hamiz v'chal kebeilu. On the other hand, when we're not talking about the tshuva of the neshama, we're not talking about the tshuva of the neshama spills over to the body and the animal soul. But we're talking about the tshuva of the neshama which spills over into the world. Guf and neshama chalki be'elam. Harizeh she'nasim kedem l'lakutz. When you take masecha and drachecha and you use them to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chiddush amiti, it's a true chiddush. And that's the difference between Perek Chof and I suppose what we learned yesterday, last time, which would be, Perek Yedalet. Yeah, chiddush and chiddush amiti. I told it to you in the previous shiur that we're going to get to this. B'lachain, and accordingly, hatainuk shalamal, the supernal delight, so to speak. Shumidar chiddush, now that Hashem gets pleasure only from a chiddush, as we discussed in earlier shashiyurim, with the different mishalim, including the mashal of a parrot. That the Eibishter responds to something not because it's great, but because it's unexpected. Says the Rebbe, Mebirir Aguf, by elevating the body, who Tainir Gadol B'Yesir, it's a far greater pleasure. May a Tainir Gabam Mitshuva D'Nisham, than the pleasure that Hashem gets from the Tshuva of the Nisham. Even when your effect on the Nefesh HaBahamis is not transforming, it's not tzaddik, it's still beinani, because you're only bending klipa. Nevertheless, so the eskafia of serving Hashem on the difficult conditions elevates the guf and the Nefesh HaBahamis and chelke be'elo, and it constitutes chiddush amiti. Says the Rebbe, however, Obazeh Gufo, I'm going to guesstimate I'm 12 lines from the bottom, maybe 13, beginning at a line, Obazeh Gufo, inasmuch as not only elevating the Neshama, not only the Gufo of the Nefesh HaBahamis, but elevating Chalki Ba'elam, Iker Achidus, the Nachas Ruach Shel Maila, the true novelty. And the Nachas, which the Eibishta gets, is Bahabirur, the Chalki Ba'elam, not how it's affecting your Gufo, your Nefesh HaBahamis, and your Neshama, but your piece of the world that you're elevating. And again, in the world of Tanya, this is Pedek Lamed Zayin, chapter 37, as opposed to Pedek Lamed Hey, chapter 40, 35. Shapir de Guf and Nefesh HaBahamis. When a Yid affects a Bidr in his own body, and affects a Bidr's own Nefesh HaBahamis, the Rebbe says, it's Sof Kosof a Yiddish Guf. And a Yiddish Nefesh HaBahamis, the Mikivon, which is a Nefesh Guf Shal Yisrael, inasmuch as the Neshama in the body of a Yid. Shagam Nefesh HaBahamis, the Guf to Yisrael, who lay Kibum is Elam, Nefesh HaBahamis, the Guf of Yid is different than Goyim. Now, of course, in Tanya Perek Ben Test, Alter Rebbe says exactly the opposite. Nidne Bechumri Yusel, the Guf Yisum is Elam, that's exactly identical. And of course, this is a conundrum, it's a quandary, it's a dichotomy, it's a contradiction. But there's two sides. On one side, the Guf and the Nefesh HaBahamis of Yid are identical to that of a Goy, on the other hand, they're different. And therefore, when you take your guf and your neshama, which is so close, and your nefesh HaBahamis, which is so close to your nefesh HaLakis, and you transform it, ein ze chidish kol kach. It's not so much of a novelty. Ve'iker ha'ilehu. When are you reaching the highest level of chidish and the most complete level of tshuva? Ba'abira dechalke ba'elom. When you bring clarity to a piece of the world, which is, of course, gashmias, ma'asecho and rachecho. Particularly when one is elevating the sparks of Shalashka with Meis Lagami, the Tshuva Kipshuta, Shazen, it's not like Yezachid, Chaydenosinus, Okeitzebazed. There's two ways you can elevate Shalashka with Meis Lagami. One is through Tshuva, it means you do an Aved and then you do an extreme Tshuva Miyavah to fix it. And the other is overcoming a Nisoyah, which is discussed in a lot of my Morim. From the Alter Rebbe, from the Tzemach Tzedek, and from the Rebbe, Toshin Yeral, from Sata Lariach and Neslis Nesis, Mipnekesh Tzela, and then of course, Toshin Lamed Vov. 25 years ago later, they repeated the same toich and the same maimer, that when a person has a test and he doesn't indulge in the test, he doesn't partake of the test, he destroys the test. So this is also a method of tshuva. It's also an idea of tshuva, that you're returning to Hashem with such an extreme that it's mevarek klipa. Says the Rebbe, nevertheless, it's the klipa of a Yid. And the truest idea of tshuva is when you're elevating the world, not the person, but the world. So when you have an aveda, not in the person, but the thing you created in the world, you know, it says in San Yisrof Pedek Zayin, Luvus Liuchel L'Sakim, or you have in the world a test, and you overcome that test, or you transform that aveda into a mitzvah, what happens to you is still close to the neshama, and therefore still close to the idea that it's not a chiddush. But what happens in the world and to the thing of the aveda, it is a chiddush. It's a chiddush amiti. Valpize yuvan gam. This explains also 8 lines from the bottom of page pay. Mashmavu ebakama makemis. You find in many places in chsidus. Sheberdei love of the bechinas b'chol meidecha, to reach a love of loving Hashem infinitely, its idea is hapcha sheichel neheira. You have to first transform darkness into light. And the emes is you had this in Tanya, right? Perik Yud, man min hein de meridu that mahapcha lemask hapcha sheichel neheira ad lo yesun hoch. That you want to achieve certain madregis, you have to have the inyan of eskafya in his hapcha. that acheshech shel inyanim agashmim, the darkness of worldly things, she'esek behem b'meshach hayem, which occupy you during the day, and when you engage with those things in a way of ishapcha and iskafya and ishapcha, then you reach the madrege of b'chol meidach. Hagam shagam ba'aveda the b'chol levavacha b'shnei tzeiracha, even though when you're serving Hashem only on the level of b'chol levavacha, which is a lower level. So you involve both Yitzim and your Mahapach Yitzirah, the Gedusha Yitzhar, becoming Yitzir Tev. It does not compare to the Aveda B'chol Maidacha. The primary idea of correction is not what you correct in yourself, what you correct in the world around yourself. So in order to have B'chol Maidacha, you have to have Ishapcha first. Now, of course, there's different ways of understanding why this is. And Emes is, I think, it's by Emes in Sof Perek Lamed Aleph, in my opinion. The reason why, in order to have B'chol Meidach, you have to have Ishapcha, is because B'chol Meidach means every single part of you is godly. For every single part of it to be godly, you have to rid yourself of anything which is ungodly. And that's what Ishapcha accomplishes. You transform the Klipa into Kedusha, your Tzadik Gomer, then you reach the Madrega B'chol Meidach. Alternatively, B'chol Meidach is called Eisa Metzene Shel Makom, you're creating the Eibishter's will. And in order to do Eisa Metzene Shel Makom, you have to have a Nif and Ishapcha. Be that as it may, what did we learn tonight? What did we learn? It's Mamesh Hemshech to the Shir of last time, that there is the Avodah of a Tzadik, B'minim Lech B'nish B'seim Chal Tzadikim, and the Chiddush, or the Chiddush Amiti, is an Avodah of the Baal Tshuva. First the Baal Tshuva of the Neshama, then the Baal Tshuva of the Guf of the Nefesh HaBahamis, and the Baal Tshuva of Teir and Mitzvahs, and the Baal Tshuva of Avedis. But beyond all of that is the Tshuva B'chol Masecha L'Shem Shamayim and B'chol Rechecha De'ehu, where you have a Chiddush Amiti. And then the Rebbe says, that's the Pshat V'shafti B'sholma Beisavi. V'shafti B'sholma means I'm going to do Tshuva. That's what it means. Beged Lechem Lechem Beged Lilbish means Teir and Mitzvahs respectively. And V'shafti B'sholma is Tshuva. And of course, we didn't learn this yet, but one of the questions that the Maimon is going to ask is, why does it say V'shafti B'shalom Beis Avi? It should say V'shafti B'shalom El Be'er Shevas, which is from where he came. We had it at Perek Tezvov, we had it on page Ayin Vov. It should say V'shafti B'shalom Be'er Sheva, and the answer is because when you come back after an ideal of tshuva, you go back higher than your source, and specifically it's called Beis Avi. And he explains, the effort at bending and transforming darkness into light, which causes the supernal laughter and delight, which is the idea of Ovi. It's be'ef in the bias, it's like a home. The idea of Ovi, the idea of making the Eibishter laugh, because I'm returning to the Eibishter. In order for it to be a bias, it has to be consistent in all aspects of his life. Not only in your personal body, but in your portion of the world. Atkan nekudas habir, and it's at least the way I'm teaching it to you. These few pages, right? We started learning inside from Perek Yudalet. We learned Ayin Hey, Ayin Vav, Ayin Zayin, Ayin Ches, Ayin Tes, Pei. We learned 6 pages of the Maimon, about a quarter. These 6 pages bring out the nekuda of the Maimon. The neshama leaves Gan Eden. It comes down into the world, which is Vayetzi Yaakov Eshav Zecharan. And it doesn't separate itself from the world, but it uses the world. And you use them in Avedis Hashem. So first of all, of course, you have the Maila of Lechem Lechel and Beged Lilbish, which is Teir and Mitzvahs. But above that, you have the Veshafti B'Shalom B'Yisav Yimal Satshuva. And in Mitzvah Hashem, in the next class, or classes, we're going to learn this, but in the Seder of the Pesukim, not in the Seder of the Maimon. The next class is going to be beginning on page Samach Dalid, Siv Gimel, where he brings the idea of a Yeitze Yainke Mebe'er Shav of a Yelech Haram.